And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. And like we promised, we have Phil Taylor on the line with us. As we said, noted radio personality, journalist, progressive radio commentator, Phil Taylor, from the Taylor Report, which airs Mondays. Phil, when does your program air on CIUT?
Between 5 and 6 on Mondays, 89.5 FM.
We have Phil with us here today, and I'm glad we have you this week to cover this particular issue, because you've been following Mia Farrow and Charles Taylor and all that for a longer period than the mainstream media has, because they focused on it at the outset of the trial when it began in 2008. They focused on it again when Naomi Campbell became involved, but you've been looking at it the whole time. You've been doing a lot of investigation, and we've interviewed you on the subject before, so it's been all over the news. I can't open the Spectator one day without the thing being in there. Got a lot of celebrities involved, and Naomi Campbell, and then Mia Farrow, of course, and others. This whole thing is ostensibly, well, it's about the Charles Taylor trial. And from what I understand, Naomi Campbell has basically been dragged into this court, into this tribunal, to testify on whether she had accepted blood diamonds from Charles Taylor. And Naomi Campbell didn't really want to be involved in this. They've been trying to get her into this for at least a year, I understand. And from the testimony, things have become really interesting once she started talking, because, I mean, Mia Farrow was the one who's pointing all the fingers. And she's trying to say that Naomi Campbell had accepted blood diamonds, and it was during a breakfast meeting, I understand. Mm. Well, Naomi Campbell, once they asked her about this, she didn't really seem to know who Charles Taylor was, at least at the time in question. She didn't really know much about him, if anything. She didn't know much, if anything, about the diamond trade. And when she was handed the alleged diamonds, she said they looked like rocks, kind of like, not what she's been given diamonds before, but these were obviously unpolished diamonds. So she said she gave them to a charity agency. It was Mia Farrow at the table who suggested perhaps she had received them from Charles Taylor. One of the big questions is, did she actually know who she was receiving them from?
I think, Brendan, that the big question is, did this succeed as a tactic in terms of publicity for the anti-Taylor forces?
Yeah. Oh, so you're asking, did it succeed?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of still being bounced around. What I find difficult is to actually nail down what all the parties are saying. I'd start with our media. They're doing a terrible job, really, on this. And, you know, when I noticed the datelines, the New York Times reporter says she's in Paris, and then the second person for the Times is, I think, in London. The case itself is being argued at The Hague in Holland. The Toronto Star's reporter doesn't say where she is, because she's obviously not there. And so, you know, if we were having a trial here in Canada, we would expect a reporter to be interviewing, particularly when you have a star witness, a celebrated witness, as the lawyers come out and say what they think of the significance of the testimony. There is very little attention being paid to what the defense for Charles Taylor is saying. And one thing is for sure, that the three women definitely all differ, and there's some theory that the prosecutor having, as Brendan pointed out there, that there really hasn't been a lot of attention to this case. It's been dragging on for 2 years, and there's not much detail following it. But they got, you know, when you bring a movie star or a famous model, well, then you get all the attention you could possibly want, and you'd really distort what the case is about. And as I think probably one or both of you pointed out, if she received some small diamonds, or diamonds, I guess we'll call them, in a rough, the question would be, well, you know, has it been established where they came from? No, the answer to that is definitely no, we don't know. And then what would be the significance anyway? I was reading the defense cross-examination, and they said, you know, Ms. Farrell, you're telling the world that you know a lot about Africa, and you care, and you're with UNICEF. You're a big shot with UNICEF. Are you aware that South Africa produces diamonds? She said, no, I don't know anything about it. Are you aware that Liberia produces diamonds? No, I don't know about that. Well, you know, and you go to this thing that Naomi Campbell told the court that she didn't want to be there because she didn't know where they're from. I mean, she says that two men came to her door and knocked on the door and said, "This is for you. It's a present." She says she gets a lot of presents. Well, and of course, the press has been telling the story. Well, she just had dinner with Charles Taylor, as though it was just the two of them, practically. And so everybody, and including herself, thought, well, maybe it came from him. But of course, now that we're hearing the testimony, it turns out that Mia Farrow said there were 20 people at the dinner.
Yeah, there's a picture of the dinner. There's a picture of people
the
after
the
dinner.
The actual meal? People sitting
no,
down
no,
eating?
No, the people that were at the dinner. It was like Nelson and Taylor and
about 20. Oh, yes, but you see, that's a kind of serious problem, isn't it? Because that's about 10 people. But there, she said there were probably 20. She's not sure. Incidentally, Naomi Campbell says there was one table. And Mia Farrow said there were maybe two or three tables. I don't know, by the way. You know, these three women were brought as prosecution witnesses. And here we are talking about the case. And it's great, and it's very confused because the prosecutor doesn't have a consistent theory. They brought three women who basically are contradicting each other. And then there's a huge motive matter that we got to look at. And that is that a woman named Carol White, she's an agent for the supermodel Naomi Campbell, or she was.
She was the agent, yes.
Then they had what is obviously a very serious falling out. And Miss White has a lawsuit against Naomi Campbell. And this story seems to be her somehow an opening for her to do maximum damage to Naomi Campbell. And she is the one who's told the most elaborate stories. Get a load of this one. She said, well, you know, she thought they came from Charles Taylor because they were flirting with each other. Campbell was flirting with Taylor. Taylor was flirting with Campbell. Now, Mia Farrow said she didn't remember whether Charles Taylor was at the dinner. And then they had the other prosecution witness said that Campbell was next to Charles Taylor. Now it turns out, according to Naomi Campbell, not contradicted, she was sitting between a famous entertainer named Quincy Jones and Nelson Mandela, not next to Charles Taylor. And then as for the flirtation, well, it couldn't have taken place in the eyes of Mia Farrow because Mia Farrow doesn't remember Charles Taylor being at the dinner. And so, but she has a story she wanted to hurt Taylor with. She had a story about how the female companion her name is Cabral, now the wife of Nelson Mandela, had said, "Oh, don't have your picture taken with Charles Taylor." I mean, she said he's a bad person, and this is something that Mia Farrow was telling American news outlets. Well, the defense lawyer says, "We have a picture here. That's you in the picture, right? And that's Charles Taylor. And I noticed that that's also Nelson Mandela's companion, the one that you said don't have your picture taken with him. And then standing next to him is Nelson Mandela." She said, "Yes, that's yes." He said, "Well, can you explain that to me? Why she would say don't have your picture taken? And that shortly thereafter, she has her picture taken with it?" Of course, Mia Farrow couldn't help on that front. But, you know, we start off in this point that Brendan introduced there, that Mia Farrow is a real serious American celebrity busybody. And she's acknowledged that she wanted to help out with the Taylor case. And I think the Canadians and everybody else ought to be pretty interested in this phenomenon because she has a ranking position with an outfit called UNICEF, major organization. It's basically, as I understand it, to do under the UN auspices to try to help people, particularly children. She says her thing is children. So she travels the world, meets famous people, and she's the UNICEF representative. And then she sits there and says, oh, yeah, she wants to see impunity ended in Africa. And she told the court that Rwanda changed her life. They didn't, by the way, follow up on that. And since I worked as an investigator and know something about the Rwanda case, I want to know how it changed her life and why. because she seems very motivated. And she made a point of saying that she was absolutely sure of the war crimes of the president of Sudan, which is pretty outrageous since, after all, there's been no trial. And here she is, a UNICEF big shot. And I noticed something that came out in her testimony. Her son is also a UNICEF big shot, and that she takes him with her wherever she goes, and he's got a rank of some type. And people say, isn't that nice? She's dedicated to the poor. Well, you know, there's a lot of luster, there's a lot of polish, there's a lot of entree that you get from that. It's hard to buy that kind of connection.
I guess you get invited to dinners made by presidents.
And then you get to shoot your mouth off about what happened at the dinner. In terms of the testimony, I find myself sympathetic to Naomi Campbell, because she said she didn't know anything about any of this, and certainly she couldn't say that these pebbles that she saw came from Charles Taylor.
She wasn't
prepared to make all these, but these two women, her companions, the highly politicized and Budinsky Miafaro, and then Carol White, they both have real good reasons to want to be involved in this stuff. And, of course, the defense is bringing that to light. But anyway, I find it, many things about this case are very troubling. For example, the lead prosecutor is a woman named Hollis, and they always say, you know, lawyer Hollis, but I looked into it, and her appropriate title is Colonel Hollis. She's a colonel in the United States Air Force. And how does a colonel from the United States office, the United States Air Force, find herself being the lead prosecutor against Charles Taylor of Liberia? And then, of course, I'm remembering that the last lead prosecutor in this case was Mr. Robb, and that also American and a law professor, and practiced in the Rwanda tribunal. And then the original accuser was another colonel in the U.S. Air Force, a man named Crane. And what the listeners need to remember is the United States says it doesn't believe in these tribunals. It doesn't believe in the permanent one. But here's U.S. is a country that won't commit itself to the permanent United Nations International Criminal Court, but it is in favor of ad hoc courts accusing enemies of the United States, or people that the United States, I reverse it, people that the United States decide to designate as targets. The U.S. played a major role in messing up the situation in Liberia. So you have, then you have this walk-on American celebrity who makes brings a charge, which is colorful, gets everybody's attention because it has to do with diamonds. But there's no one can show any link to Charles Taylor. And then there's all the talk about, incidentally, I think, no, there's somebody trying to damage Nelson Mandela while they're at it. These pictures of, that's Mandela with the evil Charles Taylor. Well, nobody's shown that he's evil. And they say, well, you know, here he was a warlord, you know, or some kind of bad person. The defense attorney said to her, are you aware that as late as 2008, Nelson Mandela had to get a clearance from the U.S. State Department because he'd been designated a terrorist, and he has to have a special clearance? So when you talk about Charles Taylor, you realize you could say that about Nelson Mandela? Of course, Mia Farrow said, no, she didn't know that.
She didn't know that.
And she said, you know, this woman, the companion of Nelson Mandela, are you aware that she's from Mozambique? And she said, I think I heard that. She said, are you aware that she, together with her husband, was a member of a guerrilla organization fighting a war in Mozambique? Did you know that? No, she didn't know that. And I would say, standing here in Canada, that people should be reminded that the year that this is happening is 1997. Charles Taylor was part of a peace process which had led to an election, and he was elected president of Liberia. Elected. And he didn't have a phony election. He had a real one. The woman he ran against was Ms. Sirleaf, and she had the endorsement of the World Bank, and he still beat her in the election.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the idea that, oh, there's something really terrible about Charles Taylor being at a dinner with Nelson Mandela. Why wouldn't Nelson Mandela be glad to see a man who had been part of a peace process, had been a war, and then he was part of the peace process, leading to an election where the Liberians chose their leadership and did elect Charles Taylor to be president of Liberia, defeating the woman who is presently the president of Liberia and who never defeated Charles Taylor in an election. She was gotten put into office as a result of the Americans forcing Charles Taylor to step down. So yeah, that's the political backdrop of why they need to label and nail Charles Taylor.
Yeah, people should remember. And by the way, just on the characterization of calling him a warlord, Charles Taylor was a professor.
Yes, he's an economist.
Yeah, he's an economist. He's an intellectual who didn't agree with all the restructuring that the World Bank wanted to do in Africa, because people forget that that's what this is all about at the end of the day, is those countries that followed in the plane or in the demands of the World Bank on how to restructure the economies, privatize, get rid of public sector, stop subsidizing food, all sorts of things that they wanted the African countries to do. And those countries that did it, they deemed to be successful. And those countries that didn't were called, considered failures.
Failed states, rogue states, led by warlords.
And at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, the woman that he defeated became, who was an official with the World Bank, then gets to win the next election. Yes. And by the way, again, Charles Taylor has signed a peace agreement, agreed to remove himself as president, agreed to go to Nigeria. He was out of the picture completely, and then he was kidnapped, basically.
Yes. The Americans ripped up the agreement that the Nigerian president committed himself. They humiliated the president of Nigeria, who gave his assurance that if Charles Taylor participate in a peaceful transition, stepping down, that he would not be subject to arrest. But the Americans totally ignored that. And they wanted to show that they are a superpower and they are beyond the law.
Or they make the law. They are the law.
They are the law. It's kind of like, you know, Al Capone with a badge.
Yeah. Because at the same time this is all going on, they are having this illegal trial in Guantanamo.
They give Cuba a hard time. They say, Cuba, you have political prisoners on your island. They say, well, I guess we do. As a matter of fact, you're the one who's holding them on our island at a place called Guantanamo, which you won't return, even though it doesn't belong to you.
And which you agree, which you publicly acknowledge that you engaged in torture in, but you said it was legal.
Yeah, and then when you get evidence from torture, you use it in your court. So you are definitely a leader in these fields, and the rest of us ought to be. Give way. It's a terrible thing to watch. I think they enjoy the idea that we just have to swallow that, and it amuses them that they do these things, because on the face of it, it's outrageous.
Well, yes, and going back to the work, the situation with Charles Taylor in Africa is that, I mean, it seems that that's the place where people are, they did this with Taylor, and now they want to do it with Bashir.
And Africa is actually pretty much as a collective telling them no. They are in an awkward situation where they're doing all these good deeds on behalf of the Africans, who tell them, please don't do that on our behalf, and we don't agree with this. Most of the states of Africa say Omar Bashir should not be charged, including, you know, the president of the neighboring state of Chad, and Chad would know something about that, since Chad played a part in trying to cause civil war inside Sudan. But, yeah, this has not been a very good exercise. And I wish people would pay closer attention to how it has evolved. Charles Taylor was abiding by his agreement with the Nigerian government, and the U.S. pushed to have him picked up. And here he was, a Liberian president, former, and when they picked him up in Nigeria, they my memory is they used a helicopter, and they flew into Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, sort of did one of these, like in baseball you call it a tag-up. I don't think he left the airport. Then they flew on to Sierra Leone, where they said they were going to charge him. And then I think probably because European lawyers and judges really don't like to be in Africa very much, they decided to ask the permanent tribunal, the ICC, which has offices in The Hague, if they, the ad hoc tribunal, could use the facilities of the permanent tribunal, which, again, I find this pretty strange because the Americans, again, are stoutly against the ICC. But here an American Air Force colonel becomes the lead prosecutor at the ICC facility for an ad hoc tribunal. So it's kind of doubly insulting. Makes a mockery, in my view, makes a mockery of the process, just as I think it's a mockery of UNICEF that Mia Farrow roams the earth shooting her mouth off about African leaders, which one should be arrested and brought to justice and telling her stories, which when she's questioned, by the way, her position was full retreat. If you read her testimony, she doesn't want to be known to know anything except what she claims she heard Naomi Campbell said, because previously she'd given everybody the impression she was all full of information. Now she understands that she needs to nail this guy, so she doesn't want to be claiming a bunch of stuff. So she's now only saying, she told me it was her who said it was a diamond. So, she, you know, very irresponsible. I think she should have to resign her position if she wants to be a witness in a case like this, because it's really fudging to have that kind of title and to be sitting there bringing evidence against somebody, particularly when it's this kind of squalid, oh, I was at breakfast and she told me. By the way, Carol White is a major figure in this, as I said, because she has a lawsuit for being fired by Naomi Campbell. But Mia Farrow now says she has no knowledge of her. She doesn't even know about her. She said, I don't remember any Carol White at the dinner with Charles Taylor and Mandela. And I don't remember her in the at this breakfast gathering. Everybody talks about, oh, they, you know, Naomi Campbell came down for breakfast and announced that she had received diamonds, or a diamond. I mean, the stories, as I say, are completely inconsistent. But Mia Farrow says she doesn't have any knowledge of Carol White, doesn't even know who she is, and has no memory of her. And yet the Carol White story is all about, there we were, you know, all of us talking about these things, and it doesn't add up. I mean, if this is an honest court, this is going to turn into being a sideshow where it's like calling, you know, Elvis Presley to give evidence, and nobody's going to remember anything about the trial except that Elvis gave evidence, even though the trial might be about something entirely different. They don't have, as far as I know, much of a case against Charles Taylor. The evidence so far has been prisoner evidence, the kind where they bring a guy that got locked up and he says, oh, yeah, I was there. But that isn't very... The crimes that we're talking of in the case of this tribunal were committed in Sierra Leone. Charles Taylor is the president of Liberia. So it's a very far-fetched kind of case. The only reason it's going forward is that when a state as powerful as the United States wants a trial to go forward, it goes forward.
As a lesson to any other leader who is willing to say no to them.
And not many countries that want that problem.
Yeah.
This is kind of the bully who basically is looking around the room and everybody else looks out the window or looks at their shoes because he's a little bit addled.
Well, we forget. I mean, the amount of leaders that they've removed, they have Noriega sitting in a prison there for the last 20 years or 15 years.
And he was, yeah, in a U.S. slammer, and now he's sitting in France.
And sitting in France. And Aristide in Haiti, they didn't charge him, but they got rid of him.
They picked him up bodily and took him out. And now they say you can have an American rock star. How about that?
Yes.
And it turns out that the rock star It comes from a kind of an established Haitian family that would be quite happy to take over and line their pockets. His uncle was an ambassador, and he did not support Aristide. This is the world we live in. Pretty rough.
Yeah.
And Mia Farrow ain't helping, and Carol Taylor is out in it to get a deal. By the way, the Carol Taylor's business, her website, her employees were laughing on the website and making his sarcastic remarks about how she's going to bring down Naomi Campbell. Defense pointed that out, and everybody scrambled around and claimed that, well, of course, Carol White wouldn't know about that. I suppose not, but it kind of tells you what's going on.
Yeah. Facebook, the whole world, you can see it.
Yeah, you're right. It's a Facebook item.
Well, I understand a former assistant that's been going after Naomi Campbell. They had to repeatedly ask her, is this about money? It's not about money. It's not about job. It's not about revenge. And so all of these aspects have gotten caught up.
The defense counsel made a good line. Had a good line, right? They say he took it from a rap star. He said, this is about money. This isn't funny, or something like that.
I see.
Yeah, you know, the defense counsel also... called Mia Farrow a Mother Teresa, or a modern day.
Since she wants to be a Mother Teresa, but she's pretty much insulting to Mother Teresa, who actually knocked herself out for whatever it was she was doing. Mia Farrow is just sort of floats around the earth, attending nice dinners, and she doesn't even notice. She said she didn't know who Charles Taylor was, and she said she didn't know, like, for example, how would she remember Carol White? Carol White's not an important person, so she had no knowledge, no memory.
Yeah.
She only knows, you know, the famous and the wealthy. And of course, they dote on her because she appears on television or goes to Darfur and stands for a day and a half, having her picture taken with black children suffering in the background and then making a statement about how she cares.
Well, I guess that's the only way she can get on TV because, I mean, I don't think she acted in a movie or a drama or anything for the last 25 years.
Yeah, personally, I think she's funnier than Woody Allen. I think he had a good case against her. I didn't know it at the beginning, but the more I see her, the more I think, oh boy, she's a piece of work.
Okay. So we're coming to the end of our program here, Brendan.
Can I say one thing? I did interview Charles Taylor, and people may not know that on the Taylor Report. And if you go to taylor-report.com, I did three interviews, I think, that are available there with Charles Taylor at the time of the crisis of his presidency.
So it's on your website?
On the website.
And you interviewed, subsequently, his daughter, right?
Since his daughter arrested. And his lawyer. I spoke... The man who's doing such a wonderful job on his behalf, Mr. Griffith, I did not interview him. He's had a number of counsel over a period of time, and I have talked to him, but I don't think Courtney Griffith was on our program, but... yes, the daughter and lawyers were interviewed also, and is available on the Taylor Report.
So that's what's Taylor?
Taylor-report.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, Phil.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.